All right, let's talk a little bit about all of the things that are going on right now, Tyler. We're under a safer at home order called by Governor Tony Evers. You're not supposed to be assembling right now as a part of it. Tomorrow there's a Liberate Wisconsin event planned for the Wisconsin State Capitol. The folks doing this didn't get a permit. And the reason is because it flies in the face of this order. Is this a good idea?
Well, I think, Andy, what you're seeing is, you know, we've got a lot of folks out there that are frustrated. They're angry. They're confused. They're scared because they've got a governor who is not being responsive to their needs. I've heard countless stories of people trying to get through to the governor's office to share with him their stories of what his shutdown has done to them and their livelihood and to their families. And they're feeling frustrated because their message isn't being heard. And so this is what's driving it. If the governor would listen to folks, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in.
Well, can you point to some things that you think he's not listening to, Tyler?
Well, I mean, I think it's been pretty clear that these folks are in dire economic situations. A lot of these small businesses, they need to be able to operate in a safe and limited manner, and the governor has turned away from them and not even been willing to listen to their concerns to allow them to keep these small businesses. I mean, he's allowing big box stores to operate and not the stores on Main Street. And so I can understand the frustration that people have. I mean, I've spent the last week or so calling people back that are from the district that I represent, and they don't know what else to do. They're at their wit's end. They know that they cannot last even till the end of May, and they feel like the governor really doesn't care about their story. And so I can understand their frustration.
This Liberate Wisconsin event that is planned for tomorrow, will you be there?
No, I'll be in my district tomorrow. So I'll be taking a look at how things go on the news, just like you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the lawsuit that you have against Governor Evers. And I think it's mainly with the extension that he has called for. Why are you taking him to court?
Well, we think he's overextended his authority as governor through his health secretary. You know, he's got the power to declare a public health emergency, and no one questions his authority to do so. But it's pretty clear to me that the legislature, when they put the language into statute, they wanted someone to be able to react quickly to a public health emergency. But then they also inserted legislative oversight into that to make sure that we didn't have a single individual making mass decisions for a state of almost 6 million people. And so we have asked for a seat at the table. The governor has continually ignored the legislature's role in this. I mean, look, if when this all started, I was giving the governor the benefit of the doubt when he started issuing some of these orders, because we weren't sure exactly what we were dealing with. We had seen the stories out of Italy and New York City, and we needed to make sure that we were being responsible. So I was giving the governor the benefit of the doubt on all of his orders and was even supportive of some. But now that we have the data where we're at, it's time to start returning the economy to the people, and there's a safe way of doing that. It's very disappointing that when this all started, the governor could have easily picked up the phone and gotten legislative leadership together with him and said, here's my vision. Here's what we're dealing with. What do you think? What are you hearing? And we could have come up with something that we all support and could be proud of. Unfortunately, he's decided to go in the complete opposite direction and freeze the legislature, which is an independent branch of the government, and freeze us out of the process completely. And it's really unfortunate that we're here where we're at today with this.
Now, wait a minute. On that last part, here's my concern with that. Here's a good analogy. The barn is on fire, engulfed in flames, and everybody knows it. And you're stopping the governor from rushing over and doing what he thinks is best to put it out. Instead, you say, wait a minute, we need to go over here and sit down and debate what's going on with that barn, and we need to vote on it before you do anything. That doesn't seem like that would be a really good idea.
Well, actually, I mean, I'll take your analogy there, Andy, and say that when the barn was on fire, the governor issued the public health emergency to put the fire out. But no individual is going to rebuild the barn by themselves. It's going to take the entire community to rebuild the barn, right? So that's what we're asking for, and it's time for him to sit down, heed our calls, sit down with us, and try and work something out. I mean, as he comes out with his quote-unquote plans, it's not a clear, coherent plan. And he claims he's been talking to business leaders around the state, and yet we can't find any business leaders that he talked to. So it's clear to me that what happened was he extended his order for a month. The state, the people of the state felt that he had gone too far and started to rise up and say, this isn't right. And then he realized he didn't have a plan of how he was going to reopen the state and return the economy to the private sector where it belongs. And so he took a long weekend, threw a plan together, and spit it out just a few days later to try and say, no, see, look, I have a plan, when there really isn't much of a plan there at all.
Well, now the governor would disagree with you and has in the media. He has said that your beef is really with President Trump because he's using the criteria that has been laid out by the president on what needs to be met, criteria that needs to be met before you can start opening up our state. And then he goes into three phases as we meet parts of that criteria. So isn't your beef really with President Trump?
No, I mean, that was a pretty politically clever spin for the governor to try and put on it. But one of the main differences between the governor's so-called plan and what the president has laid out is the president understands that there can be some differences based on region. Our governor, his plan is for a statewide plan so that if there's another outbreak or a big outbreak in one corner of the state, the parts of the state where there is little to no coronavirus activity at all, they are still going to suffer under the same closures. So the president has recognized that for some states, a one-size-fits-all might work. But regionally, there's ways to set up criteria for regions to allow some parts of the state to get back where the virus isn't as big of a threat.
Now, one of the common threads, I think, in the governor's plan and that of what President Trump has laid out is going, 14 days, 2 weeks without having a spike in COVID-19 cases. You agree with that part of the plan, don't you?
Well, I don't have a problem with the 14-day thing. I mean, I'll give you an example. My folks are, I won't say how old they are in case my mom's listening, but, you know, they're in an age group where, you know, I don't necessarily want them going to the grocery store and to Walmart. So we as a family have made the decision that my sister and I will take care of those types of activities for them. I can tell you I haven't set foot inside my parents' house in a month. Just to make sure that that I'm not bringing anything into their home, but I didn't need the government to tell me to do that. And before I even did make the first grocery trip, I made sure that I hadn't been in contact with anyone for 14 days before I was, you know, over at their even setting foot on their property. So I think being safe is something we should all strive for. But there's a way to be safe without continuing to just destroy this economy. And unfortunately, the governor at this point hasn't taken the same viewpoint.
I'm going to give you the last word, and here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to read for you a tweet from Governor Evers, and then you respond to it. Here it comes. Okay. Apparently, instead of having us act quickly and decisively to respond to a crisis, Republicans would rather have us jump through hoop after hoop and ask us for their permission to save lives. Folks, we don't have time. COVID-19 will not wait. Tyler, the floor is yours.
Well, I don't see how the governor thinks that comments like that are helpful, first of all. And second of all, we're not asking him to jump through hoops, getting the people's permission, who he works for. He's an elected governor, but he works for the people, represented by the legislature. So when we're hearing their voice one way, he needs to hear their voice as well. And that includes letting us be their voice and have a say in this. We're not trying to stop anyone from saving any lives. That's not what this is about. It's about trying to save people who, in some cases, have a small business that's been in their family for generations who feel that if they can't open at least a little bit, at least have a fighting chance in this economy, that they'll never be able to reopen again. And that's the situation that the governor is now putting these people in, when we know that there are ways that we can allow them to participate in the economy safely with social distancing guidelines. I mean, businesses have a very big incentive to make sure that their workers and their customers are safe. And I have every confidence that these folks will open in a safe way and they will take care of their workers and of their customers as we move through the summer.
We'll have to leave it there.